Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. I have my lovely co-host David Watson with me. Did we get a new website yet? Is it up?
Well, it's in the stages, the final stages of becoming.
All right.
It's just before the lotus begins to burst.
There you go.
The answer is no, but it will be short.
All right. Well, still, you can find him at askthewillows.com, and it will still be that when you go there when it's a brand new site, which hopefully is soon.
Right.
So Ask the Willows. David is a life strategist and a deep trance channeler with a soul group called The Willows. And last month, we talked about the power of love.
Yeah.
And so we thought we would continue that conversation.
Well, you said at the end of the last broadcast, Lori.
Well, it's true.
This we could do another broadcast on this. I'm figuring we could do a whole bunch of broadcasts on this.
We could definitely do a whole bunch of broadcasts on this, definitely.
Well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking on the way down about, you know, what the power of love is all about, other than, you know, Huey Lewis in the News and that great song, you know, but the power of love and what it really means. And, you know, I've been dealing with a lot of people lately in my practice who have some emotional and mental challenges, shall we say.
Yes.
Yes,
I believe you sent them to me.
Yeah. Well, I like to share. I know that you have you know, excellent powers to help people with their process as well. You know, so with that in mind,
I think actually we all seem to be having some emotional, and I think, you know, mental issues seem to be a big thing for us because we tend to live so much in our heads. So.
Oh yeah.
It's not a. It just seems to be a very interesting time for people.
But. Yeah, they say 90% in your head. I disagree with that. I think it's like 99 and 44 100%.
I think I agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. So where I was going, yes. where I was going with this was right into the place where I find that a lot of folks who are coming to see me these days have major issues that go back to childhood where they were not given the love that they needed or perceived they needed, and as a result, over the years, compensated for it. So many different other ways and sometimes abhorrent ways, you know?
Yeah.
So it's those kind of things that again, look at the power of love and say, how powerful is it if those people had received that love in the way that they needed at the time? And you can look at yourself as well, and you all listening can also look at yourself and say, if I had been given love at a certain point in my life, how would my life have been different? And the love that we're talking about isn't like, I love you. It's kind of like acceptance, support, you know, uplifting, you know, that stuff.
Well, that's the biggest part of the whole problem is that we think we redefined love based on how we received love as children. And so that's, you know, that's why we have so many problems in relationships and why we're attracting the wrong people all the time, because we're using that definition as our base for everything. Even though we may have thought we had a terrible childhood, it's the definition that has been created that, you know, impacts us still, because it's in that unconscious or it's in that, you know, that state where because we had to believe that whatever our parents did was considered love.
Mm-hmm.
We had to. I mean, that's the only way we could.
Well, I think that's part of our, our bonding and our imprinting as children.
Yes.
You know, we respond to love and we respond, even if we're being pushed away, we figure, well, at some point, if we push back, maybe they'll love us. Or maybe I'm not good enough. Or maybe if I did it better or something, you know,
so we
can build this kind of a model for ourselves.
The biggest problem is that we think we're not good enough. And if we're, you know, we do whatever they tell us, which, you know, for girls often is, you know, to be seen and not heard. And, you know, boys are generally given a different.
Yeah, they're told to lead and be strong.
Right.
And
so,
don't cry.
Yeah.
Don't dare cry.
The don't cry is probably the most damaging.
Bottom lip quivering is okay, but don't go beyond that.
But that's the problem, is that, you know, all our lives we are trying to be enough, or we're trying to find somebody who loves us the way we think we're supposed to be loved, but actually we're attracting mm-hmm. the same type of people because we're still learning that lesson. So yeah. It's a real...
Well, I think you hit it right on the head by saying, you know, need to love, you know, having that need to love. And I think that's the strong point right there. So that's kind of a good thing to talk about right now. I mean, how many people in this world feel like they're not loved? How many people feel that they're unlovable? You know, those are the two chief ones. How many people, and this is the most important one, can say they really hate themselves? How many people can say they really love themselves? Well, I mean, those of us out there who can say, I really love myself, God bless you, because our job is to help the rest of the world who don't love themselves. You know,
yeah,
our job is to, you know, take the love that we hold in our hearts and to share with the world and show, whether it's through example or by talking to people or by just giving it to them, by being kind and being benevolent in the way that we approach our life process. You know, those are the things that actually reflect in it. You know, one of my mentors, Cliff Preston's channeled source, the Echo, its favorite and probably the most famous statement he makes is, love is the only answer, no matter the question. And I think that's the essential aspect of it. I think the last time we talked about universal love, which is love that's outside of our physical plane, that's kind of, we call God love or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, that's where self-love comes from, is straight from the source. Right. When we love ourselves, we love the source. We love that for which we are part of. By loving ourselves, that's the equation. That's my presupposition anyway. And it's one I like to share with people as frequently as I can, because when we think about it, it really makes us feel good inside, and it puts us into a place where we can begin to really feel a degree of hope and a degree of caring that comes from loving ourselves. And self-love is, as we've said before, is not narcissistic. Self-love is not idealistic. It's realistic. And
or
it's
holistic.
The very base of well, holy mackerel there, yeah. But it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
That these are the terms we have to define it, because it's so important for us to feel this love without worrying about somebody coming along and trying to, like, poop in our parade, you know? It's like, there we are. And we can even love those folks, too, because that's their problem, not ours. You know? Maybe we can show them that that isn't exactly the way to express yourself when you can see life the way that we do, or that you do, you know,
right.
Or not.
And giving, staying with that theme, you know, we're always looking for love. I mean, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be shown love and to give love.
Mm-hmm.
That need within us. But, you know, we're always looking to change the other person to help them love us the way we want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, as we continue to say, is that we have to change ourselves. We cannot change anyone else. And it never will matter how much we, you know, it will never matter how much we try to change somebody. It really has to begin with us. It has to be us understanding what love is, understanding and changing the definition mm-hmm. we have of love, understanding how we're perfect within mm-hmm. all of the drama that there is, how we can love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, I think we just keep getting caught up in
stuff
and wanting to change other people. Like, we're, you know, we're not accepting who we are.
We're not suggesting that people run off and become missionaries, you know. I know love. You should love. You know, I'm not talking. I'm not implying that that's what we should do. But it is our responsibility to give love to the world around us. You know, you go back to the original idea about what are we? A physical being on a spiritual journey, or a spiritual being on a physical journey? I happen to believe the latter. You know, because I'll tell you myself, and I know you and other people who are, you know, on the spiritual path, so to speak. One of the difficulties we have is accepting all the poop that goes on in the world around us, because it's so unbelievable. And there's a huge learning curve involved in learning to become part of the world, yet to not allow the world to define us, you know? And we realize that we're part of the big energy, we're part of all of that, but the definition of who we are and how we think and what we believe is our own choice. It's our own business. And it's that where self-love comes in, because when we love ourselves, we can do that. Because if we don't love ourselves fully, or we don't have that sense of true beingness, that loving beingness within ourselves, then it's really difficult, because what we are then is influenced by everything that's going on around us, all the circumstances, all the news stories, all of the people, mom, dad, and the girl you left behind, or boy. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that we are, in that sense, being shaped by all of these things. But right. Our very definition has to come from self-love. And from understanding that love on a larger plane, and feeling that we can bring it onto this plane and take that spiritual walk that we have and give it back into the world around us, and give it back in little ways. Like, you see somebody on the street who's sitting there shaking a cup, drop a buck in their pocket, you know, or other things, or buy them a sandwich, which is even better, you know. But it's these kind of things that are easy expressions, you know. If you're out, you see somebody who's obviously from another country who isn't dressed like you. When they look at you, look them in the eye, smile at them, as if you're saying, welcome here. You know, we talk about people feeling alienated. The only reason people feel alienated is because we don't have that sense of divine love that we allow to come through us. We all have it inside, I believe, because that's what our essence is. But do we allow ourselves to express it? That's another matter. That's another matter.
And the only reason is always fear. You know, it's bottom line, the only reason we don't do anything is fear. And, you know, fear of not being enough, fear of being rejected, fear of, you know, of being too good. You know, like it's all...
We've got to attach a little bit of shame in there, too. Don't forget the shame and guilt.
Oh, the shame and guilt are good.
Yeah, they kind of go hand in hand with fear, you know. Let's just kind of like combine them. But that is the low end of the totem pole, isn't it? You know, when we really think about it emotionally. And so many of us choose to live there instead of living in our loving core.
Right.
And why do we do that? Because we don't think we're worthy of it. Right. You know, and why don't we think we're worthy of it? Because we were brought up to believe, from our family circumstances or our life circumstances or our social circumstances, that there's something intrinsically wrong with, you know, expressing this in public or in any way whatsoever, you know, because we are meant to be strong, we are meant to be this, we are meant to be that, we are meant to be a member of that group or society or you know, culture or whatever, you know, right. or belief system, you know, religious or otherwise. So we then are forced into a certain way of having to think and feel. And in that way, the love kind of gets squeezed out a little bit, and our freedom of expression becomes limited. And it's difficult to express love in a controlled society, no matter how big or small it is, without feeling that, you know, you're somehow going against the grain, you know, because not everybody else is doing this. You know, it's okay to be cold with some people. I mean, I've seen pictures of folks in all the big cities, not just New York. Everyone used to talk about New York or L.A. You see it in Toronto. There's people who sleep on cold grates or heat grates overnight in the middle of the winter, wrapped up in sleeping bags. And you know what the early morning people do? Do they walk along and bring them a hot cup of coffee? No, they step over them and pretend they're like a log lying on the trail of life. And we're taught to do that now. And we're taught to have that sense of disconnection, that lack of empathetic understanding of another person's circumstance that we could actually feel for ourselves. But maybe, you know, as you say, maybe that's what drives us to do that, is fear. Like, if I think about it, oh, I might actually go there, or I might be there, or that could happen to me, so I don't want to think about it.
Well, I think the other aspect, which, of mm-hmm. course, we've already been talking about, is, you know, you see those people and you're disconnected from them, but you're disconnected from them because you're disconnected from you.
Well, that's the root
right.
cause.
If we weren't disconnected mm-hmm. from us, that wouldn't be.
Well,
ever
there's symptoms, and then there's cause, you know, mm-hmm. and the cause ultimately being disconnected from yourself is because you believe, or we believe, we're apart from everything rather than the part of everything.
Right.
Which is an interesting way of being able to control us, and you know, I think our belief systems over the years, our social, and some of our religious beliefs are not connecting us with universal consciousness, with God, or whatever power we want to give that, or whatever name we want to give that creative power. It's behooving to help us feel like we're not connected, and that somehow that they got the inside skinny on how to connect. So when that happens, then we're in a place where we have to, you know, go through their process to get where we want to go. So that puts, like, an interlocutor between you and creative power. So, you know, my message to the world always is, you know, the funniest joke I ever heard was a couple of people were discussing, and one was discussing a religion about, you know, why they were the person to talk to God, and the other person was saying, you know, and we're kind of like a long distance operator, and the other religious person said, oh, that's funny, you know, my belief system, it's a local call. And I believe, in actual fact, it is a local call for all of us to connect with universal consciousness, to create with eternal life and go there. I'm not saying I'm anti religion, because I'm not. I believe that many people have powerful experiences by following these edicts as well. Yet at the same time, many others become more connected with the image than the energy, you know.
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm going. So I talk to everybody about that and believe that we have that capacity to move ourselves in a positive way and express our love in whatever our belief system or predilection is. And the moment we begin to express it in our belief system, it catches fire, because all of the positive religious belief systems on the earth have that as their very core. Yet we get lost in the translation.
Right.
Literally, at times.
All right, you've been listening to News for the Heart. I have David Watson with me. We're talking about the power of love, too. we're getting to the heart of the matter, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on BeMajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired, through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts, over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to, as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better? Why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with BeMajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions, or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com. Or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We have the Willows back. There was a little bit of a conversation as to, you know, what we call the Willows, because David takes off his glasses. So prior to that, he's Clark Kent. So I do believe now we're into Superman.
Yeah, well, as we indicate here, we are neither men or super, you see. just to be that of energy that is here being connected with the higher consciousness of the entity David. You may call this type of energy collective as a soul, as you would understand.
Yes.
So the term might be more effectively supermen, you see, being multiple consciousness here that is being channeled through this higher consciousness here.
And I'm sure there's some women in there too. If there is such
thing. There'd be of energies, yes. Some on the physical level be
there
that of a female. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Nice. All right, so we've been talking about the power of love. David thought we would come back and discuss with you what really is love. We talk about it on the physical level as a, you know, something we need to love ourselves. We want to love other people. But what is really love?
Well, love comes from an understanding of attraction. Now, we know this is one of your pet pet peeves, so to speak, here, that we refer here of the law of attraction. Mm. And in many cases, it is created for others a misconception about specifically what it is or is not. So there has been endless debates about it, both online, in person, and other places, shall we say, in print. But for you to see here, it is love that is the essence of the law of attraction. And we do not mean this just on the level here saying, I love you, or I love my car, or I love this day, but rather understanding the nature of that which you are composed of. You see here, we talk about spirit, and many people look at spirit and determine for themselves, oh, it is this or it is that. It is a compendium of energy that was once in the physical. But really, we would say to you, you have to look at spirit and say, at what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Before mankind or any other creature existed in the universe, there was spirit, and it was busy creating and in the constant state of becomingness. However, within as much as this is the case, there are elements of what you would call spirit, which are literally, we refer here as of mathematical energies, that you would be considering as of physics of the quantum nature. This becoming down to understanding the nature of what many would refer to as of string theory, that is of understanding that all matter is created from vibrational energies, that actually when they vibrate together in a certain pulse begin to create atoms, that is something out of nothing, that then attach themselves to each other to create more something out of nothing, becoming molecules creating more, and before you know it, you have people like the entity David wandering around the world scratching their heads saying, where did all this come from? So you see here, there is this understanding here, the true nature of love is that of the law of attraction. If these different vibrational subtleties that exist outside of time and space, as you would understand it, are in a vibrational state of attraction. They attract each other. And that attraction is a sense of joy, for it is always, in attraction, becomes an increasing. And increasing in that which is being created becomes more and more of its origin and then begins to evolve through it, moving always, interestingly enough, towards higher forms of consciousness. So, the physical is created out of the non-physical in this way, and it is done through the law of attraction. These little squiggly vibrational pieces attracting each other and then creating the atomic in this way, upon which your universe is formed. So, looking at this, you would understand then, as a macrocosm of this original microcosm, the origins of creation, you individually and collectively have the capacity through conscious will and conscious understanding of the feelings that you hold within yourself, which all stem from this original law of attraction, this original love, as it were, which is how one would attract or define things that are attracted to each other to be creative. You see? So love is a matter of creating that which you would call life, physicality. But it is also at the very root of the growth and evolution of that physicality. And the way that that the universe is working in this way is in a constant state of attraction and repulsion, coming back and forth. As things are created, break up, and then come back together and create more new things. This very cycle is available within your own earth, as you would see things that are then taken, such as your vegetable tailings from your kitchen, thrown into a compost heap. They then return into an earth-like state in a highly nutritious form, and then enhance the quality of the earth, which is made out of all of these items in the first place, to produce even better quality produce as time goes on. So it is a cycle, you see, and it is a self-generating eternal cycle. You would like to talk about something that operates consistently and eternally. This is it. The real perpetual motion machine is this constant cycle of creation, deterioration, and recreation. So, this is part of the law of attraction, which you would understand is really coming from the law of universal love, love being the attraction and creation of new. That then affects itself in higher consciousness, which has been evolving all this time, meaning you humans who have reached a certain stage of consciousness, in which your capacity to empathize and love is reaching a higher and higher level. Even those who are going into what we would call the military and other conformist activities are developing more and more in the way of compassion. Hence, those who are put into the battlefield, who are coming out greatly emotionally disturbed by the things they have seen. For they're empathized with those things about them. Now, this has happened in times gone by, yes, but not to the degree as those who are now at this point in your history are the recipients of so many millennia of intellectual and emotional learnings that come so easily and are given freely as common knowledge in the society within which you live. These come from love originally as well, and are now being expressed in a more succinct way, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So from this perspective here, true love, as you would have it, is truly that of attraction, that of building, that of creating. And truly, when you think about the people that you love in your life, beside the person you would like as your partner, are your children, are your friends, are your relatives, well, mostly your relatives, most of your relatives, we say with a smile, but all fooling aside, the people who are significant in your life, you feel love for them, and they feel love back for you. It is the same law of attraction that creates this greater sense of consciousness and this greater sense of heart-based loving. For true heart-based loving is beyond physical needs. It is based upon pure joy of creation, you see? And when one steps into that state, when one has those moments, those epiphanies, you may choose any place to have it, whether in deep meditation, whether talking or being with somebody that you love, whether being in nature, whether even watching a piece of artistic cinema where the writer and the director and the actor move together to reach out and touch that deep within you and create shifts. This is love at work, you see. And in giving that and receiving that, it is a good way for balancing the soul. For once you understand not only the fact that you can give love, for you are all taught to give love, it's okay to give love, but then you have to also accept the fact it's okay to receive love. And this is where you, Entity Laurie here, speak here of people who are in denial of this, yes?
Mm.
Who cannot accept this love, and who become, in fact, disturbed in many ways because of this belief they are unworthy.
Yeah.
They do not deserve. That is not for them. But in actual fact, when you see how simple we have tried to make this, bringing it forth from original creation into now, it is impossible to believe you cannot be loved because you are love. That which you believe to be true creation, what you may call God or Jesus or Allah or Zoroaster, it does not make any difference. It does not make any difference, for these are the representations of ultimate understanding of universal love. And it is this application, albeit different in each, shall we say, belief system, that is the very course of what these belief systems are about. In other words, acknowledging that which is greater than one, and acknowledging that one is part of that greatness, therefore one becomes great, but does not need to necessarily identify with the succinct beliefs of the individuals who are purporting that particular belief system. All belief systems begin with those individuals who became models for others, whether it be in the present or in the far and distant past, such as those of the beliefs of Hindus, who have beliefs about Krishna and Rama and others of this great power that go back aeons to a place where people were actually blue, which is an interesting thing, because today many people talk about the blue aliens, you see. So we may say here, perhaps you can draw lines of connection in this way. But it also brings into mind, even if these early ones were aliens in this way, they brought love and peace and joy onto the planet. and reflected in many ways man's own shortcomings, to thus create a model of excellence in which individuals would learn to live and thrive and to become full and whole in their own life process. So again, based upon the nature of love in this way, these are the things here that love is about. So when you say, what is love? We would say, love is a vibration. Love is the string theory. Love is you. Love is everything around you, where everything around you was created from these original attractions. And these attractions are timeless. They are constantly in action and activity. The universe is expanding and growing, even as we are talking at this moment in time. It shall always be thus. Those who have this negative belief system about the Big Bang theory, in which everything explodes outward from one eternal moment into the universe as you know it, from one tiny point of existence, are, in actual fact, asking you to believe something that is inconceivable. And this inconceivable is what makes them feel that they're onto something. But in actual fact, what they miss is that moment of love, that moment of creation, is right now. It is not another time. It is not in the past. It is right now. And the Big Bang, really, is now. It is the state of creation that you are existing within right now. This is because it is love. Love exists only now. Love is the base of all now. You see, so when one takes this into an understanding and understands that you can take it into your own self and say, if I exist in the moment, then I exist within love, and I can express that love with benevolence, care, and joy into the world around me. That when I see other people, I consider them to be as myself and treat them with the same respect that I would be treated with by others and feel joy from this. This way, you will find, as your life continues on, that the love that you are feeling within yourself and expressing in the world around you only attracts more like-minded people to you. And this is precisely what this whole process is about. And this is why you are speaking about this at this time, is to encourage each and all of you to look within the self to discover and open to the love that you hold in your heart of hearts. You see?
And maybe to become aware of the fear that is blocking the love from being.
Well, the fear is in actual fact the opposite of love in this way, but it is also part of the great cycle, you see?
Okay.
One cannot have love and appreciate it as wholeness without a sense of other emotions that seem to defeat the nature of love, that seem to repress it. But when that happens, then there becomes a shift. And there becomes a newness of commitment to bring love into the world more wholly. This is not the first time in the world's history when this is being suggested, particularly when you look around at the world right now and people are so adamant on killing each other and creating for themselves here of terrible memories, horrible experiences, and destructive and ongoing fear and terror. One might say this is their lot in life, but we would say it is because neither side is willing to offer love. And this is the basis of all of these conflicts in this way. There is no love lost or involved in any of these activities, as you might see, you see?
Well, don't they think it's for love of the country or for love of God that people do war?
Well, you see, it is not. It is for the
love
of the cause. You see, it is the love of the cause, because people identify with the cause, and true love is to be with the cause. When you love the cause, then you are loved, and you are loved by others in the cause. In other words, as we had indicated earlier, you're part of a larger group.
Yes.
And you are identifying yourself as the group, rather than as somebody who is part of the group. And it's most important to understand this differentiation, because without this understanding, then individuals lose their individuality and become, in fact, just drones attached to a larger entity that is doing the thinking for them. The more that one allows this to happen, it feels comfortable to a certain degree. But you would understand here that on an ongoing basis is not the key to growth. It is the key to stagnation. In some people's mind, it is a perfect world where everyone is controlled in this way. But in actual fact, that control is within the very seeds of stagnation. a deterioration, and therefore would only evince a society that would rise up against this and ask for its own independence and its own needs again. It becomes an endless cycle in this way. The only way to put an end to the cycle is spread love now. You see?
And be aware that what you think is love is not even close.
Indeed. And realize this is not a problem. It is a pleasure. Most people say the problem with love is, and we would say there is no problem with love. There is only love.
Right.
But many people find a problem with it because they have difficulty either expressing it or receiving it, or both.
Right.
You see?
Right. Out of fear.
Out of fear, out of shame, yeah. Out of anger, out of resentment, out of revenge. It's all based upon a damaged ego. And the ego only became damaged because that individual at some point in their life was not loved the way they needed to be loved. So as a result, that person creates an aspect within their life that they then begin to use as the very base for their own growth. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. As the mind is treated and the heart is treated, so grows the human. You see?
And so to straighten that branch out, we need to, I mean, it really is almost as simple as, you know, love and share and
Indeed.
Respect. But most people have so much fear around that.
And mistrust.
Oh, yeah.
Because people do not trust themselves, you see, because they do not love themselves. One of the lines that the entity Dave likes to work with when he works with others, and particularly with the process referral of Psyche, is that which is, I always love, primary, trust, secondary, and approve of myself unconditionally. And with these three statements, basically you are neutralizing any aspects of consciousness that are putting a ceiling on your ability to express love for yourself and to express that love into the world. Because there are two statements here that make this a very powerful statement, always and unconditionally, you see? Because many people do love, trust, and approve of themselves, but not always, and certainly not unconditionally, you see? So it is these aspects that when considered in this way and given a different twist, and adding these admonitions to it, then individuals have an opportunity to truly experience this self-love, and they will no longer feel trapped by other people's beliefs, nor feel obliged to follow with them. These are very three simple, powerful statements that change the world for those who adapt, adopt, and integrate and improve them into their own lives, you see?
Well, I think with that, unless you have another thought that you would like to offer, I think we're complete.
Well, in the words of the great master John Lennon, all you need is love.
Beautiful.
La. Da, 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 da.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back from break, David Watson will be back with us. And I believe we're going to be talking about the 3%. So you have been listening to News for the Heart with David Watson and the Willows. And we're getting the heart of what matters with regards to the power of love. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to, as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better? Why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with BeMajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We have been getting to the heart of what matters with regards to the power of love. Oh, we got Clark Kent back.
Back again, are we?
And meaning we have David Watson back. We've been talking about the power of love. We got a very interesting concept of love and attraction from the Willows. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to talk about the 3%. So how the power of love and the 3% sort of catch in. Now, we did a show on the 3%, but maybe give a background.
Well, the 3% solution is based on a concept that was first shared with me on a YouTube video.
Nice.
Watching the great Daniel Brinkley during an interview, and part of the interview actually described the fact that, you know, it only takes 3% of a certain consciousness to exist within our social order to make a difference, to make it shift. That's the shifting point. And he even refers to it as a scientific formula that allows that as part of our understanding of how things change. We talk about the 100th monkey and that sort of thing, you know, so I think it's the same sort of.
Or the fly that's moving around you.
I think that kind of thing puts us to a point where what he's actually saying, Laurie, is that if we this is classic, isn't
yeah.
it? So if we, as soon as I said it, he left. You know, that's great.
Yeah.
By taking that as a concept, it means that it's each one of us the opportunity to make a shift, to make the world a better place. Because, you know, a lot of us say, oh, well, you know, look, we're never going to get everybody to believe what we believe. And the answer is, of course not. We don't need to.
Right.
If you can only get, like, maybe 1 or 2% of the people you know around you to begin to see things a little bit the way you see, that's great. You know, if you can get up to 3%, even better. So that doesn't mean 3 out of 10. It means 3 out of every 100 people you know. That's kind of little. And when we think about that, that gives us an opportunity to have a greater understanding of how we build our strength. Because it's not just that saying that people are going to believe that they should be, you know, bringing love into the world or but actually practicing it. But also understanding at another level of consciousness that when we have this love that we put into the world on a very much higher scale and a higher level of consciousness and on a higher vibrational level, that connects with other like-minded people.
Right.
And we start meeting each other in the oddest places and recognizing each other in many ways as well. You know, and it's not like the old way, oh, I recognize you, you know, we should date. You know, it's not that kind of recognition. It's kind of like you meet people and you go, we should be sharing something about this world together. We should be talking about things and feeling good and having discussions and beginning to put that into our day-to-day existence and sharing it with those around us. Even if we don't get anything back from people, it's still nice to feel good, to do things, and to make people feel good. So that's kind of the 3% solution. And if we can get those people around us and we can have them begin to feel a little happier, some of them, then we're doing a good job. But the most important thing is to make sure that we're doing it. Because even if we're doing it, what we're doing on that level is each person who is working in their in a loving, generous way with themselves and providing love, literally gets to support other energies around them that aren't experiencing that. And that doesn't mean to say you have to directly deal with them. It simply means that you begin to influence the overall consciousness of the planet. And if you can get 3% of the planet's consciousness, yourself included, and perhaps some of the people around you, if we can do this, I'm not saying just you, all of us who believe these things, if we begin to practice this and put it into the world around us, then the world changes. That's how things change. You think the whole world believed that they could fly in 1903 or whatever it was? No, but there were a bunch of people who thought they could. They weren't even 3% of the world population. They were far less. And now look what we have. We have an aviation industry that's astounding, that allows us to move from one country to another in hours instead of months and days, in some cases even years. You know? So it's phenomenal. And that's how one small thing can enter in our social order. Now I'm talking about something that entered in on a physical level. But we're on a physical level, and if we practice that love and put it back into the physical around us, it begins to influence other people just by allowing them to feel good, just by allowing us, giving ourselves permission to do something nice for someone else, to smile, you know, to help somebody with their bags at their car, you know, to be able to, you know, look at someone's little kid and say, what a beautiful child, and say that to the parent. You know, to do those things and to feel that love and putting it out from our heart is an ideal way to express ourselves in such a way. But again, you say, well, not many people think that way. Of course they don't. But the fact is, our job is to think that way ourselves and to practice it in the world and to act as some kind of a, you know, hopefully some kind of a model for other people to be able to emulate to some degree or another, or at least take the feeling that you've somehow engendered within them, the feeling of connectiveness, and allow them to work on it and develop it within themselves. So does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough to talk about. Providing examples, providing, you know, it, you know, like we've talked in the beginning, I mean, it has to start with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't expect others to do it. We have to be able to do it so that those people around us, you know, come from that place. And again, it, you know, it has everything to do with, you know, letting go of your fears. A lot of people have, and I'm not sure where I sit on it with the issue about hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about faith. It's more about, you know, having that expectation and believing that it can be. And because hope kind of leaves you, I don't know what the word is, but I think there's too many people that hope they're going to win the lottery or hope, you know, where it's...
I think that word is wish.
Well,
I think there's a difference between wishing and hoping, you know. And as a good friend of mine once said, don't ever confuse your backbone with your wishbone. You know, it's so wishing doesn't mean something is going to happen. Wanting, hoping, and desiring is the basis for that.
But I think having faith that it's going to happen,
yeah.
Having faith that we can move into a place of love, having faith in ourselves, having faith in humanity, but not having the expectation or, you know, trying to fix somebody else, but not even trying to necessarily fix ourselves, just hold that acceptance that we are.
Well, you know, one of my presuppositions in life is that nobody's broken, right?
Right.
So fixing is something a lot of people use as a term, which is kind of interesting.
Healing. It's like...
But what is to fix?
Right. And what is to heal? It's really just... I mean, yes, there are things, like when it comes to fear, it's not that we have to heal fear. We just have to see it. We have to see and recognize that it's one thing that is, you know, blocking our heart from.
So then we learn.
Right.
We educate ourselves and we grow from that knowledge.
Right.
Which comes from insight and which comes from experience, which comes from, you know, like, yeah. which comes from somebody somewhere along the line saying, you should do this, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah. And, of course, the most important person is ourselves telling ourselves that we should
yes.
do this.
Definitely.
But hopefully, you know, chats like this and thoughts like this are, you know, reaching other people in a more powerful way these days. And I only wish for all of our listeners and all of our viewers to begin to look within and express that and to feel that love first of all within. You know, I'm not suggesting that we have to go out and change the universe. That's not the idea.
Yeah.
It's just changing our universe, our own consciousness, that within our own lives is a pretty powerful and at times daunting process, which is a worthy journey,
right.
and a worthy cause to hold in our lives, you know.
Well, there's so many causes out there that people feel they have to, you know, support or change them. But usually when that happens, we're in a state of judgment.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the only way we can make that change, as Gandhi says, you know, be the change you want to be in the world. I mean, you have to be that which you want. Mm-hmm. You have to be that which you see and want outside of yourself.
Which is why I believe that we have to work with that sense of benevolence in life.
Right.
And if we, you know, you say benevolence, what the hell is that? But, you know, when you really think about it, benevolence is being kind and generous, being helpful, being all those things, you know, and being philanthropic with all aspects of your own self. And doing that, and the more that you practice it, the more you feel like it, and the more it becomes you, and the more benevolent you become in all the things you do. And interestingly enough, the more benevolent the outcomes of all the things that you touch. That's the essence of love.
Right.
And by putting the love out there in that way, That's what lifts us up. I know I keep going back to it, pounding at it, but the fact of the matter is, it's truth. It's truth that I've discovered in my, you know, 60 odd years of trying to figure out who I am and what I'm doing here. And I think that those things are part of that process and part of that growth. So the more that I can share this with the world, the more you can share it with the world from your own life experience too. And your own personal understanding. It's not just something you learned, you know,
right.
something you understood through personal interaction. and once we have that information and we break through it, instead of becoming bitter and hardened and broken and you know, down, you know, we
which we've all been.
Well, heck yeah. Those are the early stages. But instead of remaining there, which is more to the point, we have a tendency to, like, you know, like float up towards the light again, you know?
I think I've been stuck there a few times.
Yeah, well, you're not there anymore, and that's the good part. Neither am I right now. But,
right.
you know, that's the thing about life, is it works in cycles, and different things affect us in different ways. But it's not the fact that we wouldn't get upset, or we wouldn't feel disappointed, or we wouldn't feel hurt, or we wouldn't feel angry, or wouldn't feel fear, you know? But how fast we come back from it, whether we hold on to it, is a real element of how much we love ourselves.
Right.
Which means that we hold love to our heart, and everything else we observe. We observe the other emotions and go, isn't that interesting? And if we look lovingly at those emotions, we send love to them, and of course, they immediately become neutralized and return back to their original source, which is love. Which is kind of an interesting thing. When we begin to, you know, trace our different emotions back, they all go back to love.
Absolutely.
So,
and it's fear that takes us away. All right.
Indeed.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Yes. So you have been listening to News for the Heart with David Watson, and David will be back with us next month. We may still be talking about the power of love. Who knows? It is a
I love that topic.
Broad topic. If you want more information about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com. That's askthewillows.com. And we've been getting to the heart of what matters, and we'll be back next month.
Thanks, Tara.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.